Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
This week, we begin the book of Exodus. In Hebrew, this book is called Shemot, or names, because it begins with the words Ve'ele Shemot, and these are the names. And although the subject of naming is not as central to this book as the story of the Exodus, there is value in exploring how the theme of naming is played out and what Judaism has to teach about it. So tonight, I'd like to focus in on three teachings Judaism has to offer on this topic. Namely, naming is a creative act, it is about understanding relationships, and finally, it is an expression of hope for the future. Our first teaching, naming is a creative act. We say the magic word, abracadabra, and poof, something is created out of thin air. Abracadabra is Aramaic in origin and closely related to the Hebrew, evra, I will create, kadaber, as I speak. And it seems fitting to me that this magical word used to create something out of nothing is from a Semitic language, because the idea of creating something with language is basic in the Torah. We read, Vayomer Elohim, Yehi Or, Vayehi Or. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created the world through naming. And as God's partners, human beings are also given the power of naming. In the Torah, it says, God formed out of the earth all the wild beasts and all the birds of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that would be its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to all the wild beasts. Through naming, man helped to create the reality of the animal named, what it was. Similarly, we give and take many names that define who we are. We are mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, sisters, brothers, grandparents, doctors, cleaners, poets, baseball players, and so on and so forth. And we help to create who we are through the titles we give to ourselves and to others. Second, naming is about establishing relationships. There is a story about four blind men who came upon an elephant and wanted to understand what an elephant was. The first one, who had run headfirst into the elephant's side, exclaimed, "Why, it's a wall! An elephant is a large, warm wall." "What do you mean, a wall?" said the second man, wrapping his arms around the elephant's leg. "This is nothing like a wall. An elephant is a pillar." "A pillar? Strange kind of pillar," said the third man, stroking the elephant's trunk. "It's too thin for one thing, and it's too flexible for another. An elephant is like a snake." "Snakes don't have hair," said the fourth man, pulling the elephant's tail. "This isn't a snake, it's a rope. An elephant is like a rope." To each man, the elephant was something different, depending on his physical relationship to it. This story is a good one in depicting how we name things to reflect our own specific perspectives about that thing. The inverse, of course, is also true. An object's name teaches us to look at it in a specific way and to narrow it down to the things that we associate with that name. It is about our perception of the signified and the signifier, rather than a holistic understanding of something. And this narrowing down of the other to one element of its being is essential in allowing us to function in the world. We must be able to quickly identify and categorize people and things to know how to interact with them. Names and titles establish particular relationships with just one word. So the words we choose as names really define our understanding of something and our relationship to it. For example, we gain a profound understanding of our relationship with God through different names for God in the Torah. In a midrash, we read, God asked Adam, "And you, what is your name?" And Adam replied, "Adam." God asked, "Why?" Adam replied, "Because I was fashioned out of the Adama, the earth." God then asked, "And I, what is my name?" Adam replied, "Adonai." God asked, "Why?" "Because you are the sovereign, the Adon, over all your works." This early name for God, Adonai, according to this midrash, defines how Adam understood his relationship to God. God was Adam's master. God is the creator. In our Torah portion this week, however, we learn a new name for God that in turn shows us a new way to relate to God. I'll set the scene. Moses was now a young man. He had grown up in Pharaoh's palace with all the comforts of a prince, but Moses had seen the brutality that the Israelites faced under Pharaoh's rule and ends up killing one of Pharaoh's taskmasters while coming to the defense of an Israelite. Moses flees and becomes a shepherd in the hills, giving up his former life, when one day he notices that there is a bush close by to him that is on fire, and yet it does not get consumed by the flames. It is God calling to Moses and asking him to go back and to demand that Pharaoh set the Israelites free. Moses is afraid that the Israelites will not take him seriously and will refuse. Moses says to God, "When I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God says to Moses, "Ehyeh asher ehyeh," continuing, "Thus shall you say to the Israelites, 'Ehyeh sent me to you.'" The name God calls God's self is remarkable. It is Ehyeh asher ehyeh, "I am what I am," or "I will be what I will be." Torah scholar Aviva Zornberg says it best when she describes this name for God. She describes it as meaning, "I shall be with you." God will always respond to the needs of the human, to the specific quality of the human cry, the particular idiom of a particular time, a particular place, a particular conception of God will draw forth in answering a sense of redemption. A fluid, dynamic name, it expresses the first person form of God's name, addressing the human involved in dialogue with the human. It changes constantly as human beings find and lose relationship with God. Ehyeh asher ehyeh is a name that reveals our relationship with God is always emerging, always transforming. To me, this name for God implies that God is Ehyeh with us every step of the way and will be what we need as we push forward into the future. Finally, naming is about hope. The names from this week's Torah portion tell a story about hope for the Jewish future. We hear about the birth of Moses, and we learn the names of his siblings, Miriam and Aaron. Miriam can mean bitter, rebellious waters or mistress of the water, bringing to mind that Miriam and the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea to freedom, from the bitterness of slavery in Egypt to the sweetness of freedom across the sea. Aaron can mean teaching, shining, or messenger. Aaron became the first high priest, the first Kohen Gadol. He embodied God's teaching about purity and bringing holiness into the world. And finally, Moses. Moses was named by Pharaoh's daughter when she drew him out of the Nile River and saved him from being drowned, Moses, to draw out. But Moses also drew out Pharaoh's agreement to release the Israelites from slavery, and Moses drew the Israelites themselves out of Egypt. The sages say that the name of a book of Torah holds the essence of that book within it. Miriam, Aaron, and Moses' names speak about freedom and the teaching of God's laws, and they speak about the hope for the future. Just as when we name our own children, the act of choosing names is one of expressing hopes for the future. A few years back, I met a couple who had two children named Aiden and Adele. This couple happened to both work professionally as child psychologists, and they told me that they had specifically chosen these names to give their children a leg up in society. In their research, they had found that children with names closer to the start of the alphabet got chosen more frequently and called on more often, and generally built up better self-confidence, so they named both of their children with names that began with A. We all put our hopes for the future into our children. We name our children for loved ones in hopes that they will take on some of their most cherished qualities. In the Ashkenazi tradition, we name for those who have passed on, and in the Sephardic tradition, we may also name for those who we love who are still living. But both traditions are all about hope to pass on good natures, intelligence, kind hearts, great senses of humor, resilience, optimism, or strength to a newborn human being. Judaism teaches us that names are about creating, understanding relationships, and expressing our hopes for the future. As we begin 2016, may we name this year for good. May we relate to others in the name of kindness and compassion. May we not take for granted the banner of freedom on which we live under and live freely. And may our names for the future bring our hopes into reality. Shabbat Shalom.